Maybe he didn't buy back his kit note yet.
What page are we on?
Which daf are we on?
Which daf?
Yurchet Omer Aleph. In the middle. Okay. Why don't actually, you know what? Probably, unless everybody's really been spending the last 2 weeks during Pesach chazering.
Chazering.
Oh, chaz v'shal. I managed not to gain any weight over Pesach.
That's good.
I don't lose any weight. I didn't gain any weight.
That means you're winning.
Yeah, you go back to
Perek Rishon. So I'm already ahead of the. So, but look, go back to Yud Zayin. Go back to the Mishnah. Hakoreh the Megillah l'mafreilo yatsa kara al peh kara targum bechol lashon lo yatsa. If well, the mafreya we already discussed. But if you read it al peh, if you read it by heart. You're not the Yotze.
Does that mean not from the calf, or that means without leaving in front of me?
Wouldn't you think that's a question the Gemara would address?
It's going to be addressed.
But generally, lekro bal peh means by heart. I say, Vayhi b'mei achashvero, v'shu achashvero, v'shama leich mehod v'bat kush, etc., etc., etc. So that's bal peh. So you're not yotze if you do it bal peh. If you read it in translation, targum lo yatsa bechol lashon, presumably bechol lashon, except for lashon hakodesh, lo yatsa. Aval korino taleloa zot belaz. But you can read it to a foreigner. You see, Rashi says, "Kol she'eno lashon hakodesh nikra laz." V'ha'amart kara b'chol lashon lo yatsa. But wait a second. We said a second ago, if you read it in any other language besides Hebrew, you're not yotze. So how could you read it a foreign language to a foreigner? So Rashi is anticipating the question of the Gemara. V'ha'lo'ez sheshama ashurit yatsa. But a foreigner, someone who is not a Hebrew speaker or a native Hebrew speaker, or somebody who does not understand Hebrew, who hears it in Ashurit. Ashurit, again, is a nickname for what we call Lashon HaKodesh, is Yotze. So this is the topic of our Gemara here in Yudchet Omer Aleph.
Why would,
so basically, if I don't understand a word of Hebrew, but I hear the Megillah in Hebrew, even if I don't understand a word of what the guy is saying, I'm still Yotze?
That's what the Mishnah seems to say. Do you know anybody like that?
America?
Did you grow up in the Golden of Medina?
Yeah, all of those. We had Art Scroll. We were very good. You never say something. You looked it up in Art Scroll. You knew what was going on.
Kara al pelo yatsa.
Is there a reason why the Mishnah uses the Lashon of Ashurit and doesn't say Hebrew?
Well, the Mishnah does not refer to the language we call Hebrew as Ivrit. It calls it either Lashon HaKodesh. The Mishnah itself already refers to Ivrit as Lashon HaKodesh. Or it refers to it as Ashurit, which is a kind of nickname based on the alphabet.
Ashurit is more to do with the writing.
Yes, that's why I said it's a nickname for the language.
Well, here, no, actually, sounds like, yeah, maybe it actually is talking about something written in Ashurit.
Yeah, but that's not the maskona of the Gemara here. Where does he quote that from?
Rov.
What?
So if it's English written in Hebrew letters, you mean?
We'll come to this. But Asherit, he interprets as...
So definitely in Hebrew. It's supposed to be not referring to...
No, you're already teaching the Gemara. We're going to get to that in 3 seconds.
Okay. One word.
But the word Asherit is a nickname for what we call Ivrit.
It's the modern script.
Right? And it gains that nickname because of the script in which it is now written after the times of Ezra.
Well, not just. Because maybe it could be if they're... In that book you're talking about, which I'm still going through a little bit.
Which book?
The Lewis Gilbert, the book, the story.
I didn't get it. I lent that to you. I want that back. Yeah.
No, it's important. So you talk about how they use Asherit specifically also because there was a bit of polemic with the Shomronim. Continue to use, you know, the Ketav Ivri Atik.
Ada Yom Hazeh?
Well, certainly in the times of the Mishnah.
Oh.
So in other words, when this, it could be that actually had you written this Megillah in Ketav Ivri, you wouldn't be upset because they want to show you that we're not Shomronim. And there was some degrees of like specifically sticking with
this. Ezra was the alphabet reform of Ezra was against the Shomronim.
Ben Yeter, but that's what it came to be. Then later, there was some backlash to that, which is why Bar Kokhba and other things,
they ran back
to Tel Aviv because they were trying to show that we're there. Someone did take
a very, very basic Amaratish question. Is the first time in Rashi, I don't know if it's the first time in Rashi, when Rashi uses the term Laz, he uses it as Rosh HaTevot.
Yeah, so Rashi, and as when Rashi says Laz with Rosh HaTevot, he's referring to that. The word Laz, Laz is a Mishnaic term for...
Right.
But then conveniently it becomes Rashi Tevot. And it's what is that called? A portmanteau?
That's when you combine words.
But in other words, Laz does not mean Lashon Amzu, but it conveniently can be darshened that way for things. So, but when Rashi says Laz as Rashi Tevot, he means the word in Old French. I once had a chavrusa with for a while. Annual Navon and I learned together, and I don't remember what we were learning, but there was an exceptional use of Rashi of Lazen in the Rashi's in that Gemara. Like every other Rashi had a Laz in French. So here I'm learning with a native French speaker. He didn't know not a single one of those words. So Kara Alpe, the Gemara says Kara Alpe lo Yotza. Menalan, what is the source for this? Omar Rava, Atya Zachira Zachira. A Gzera Shava from the word Zachira. Ktiv Hocha, V'hayamim Ha'elen Nizkarim. Here in the Megillah, it says that these days, the days of Purim, should be remembered. But the Megillah doesn't tell us how to remember them. Right? As if I tell you to remember something. So presumably, what does that mean?
To remember. Whatever you told.
That task, which gets harder and harder each year. Yep. Right? To hold it in your mind. Zechira pshuto kama shmo. When you go to the store, remember to bring back eggs.
That's why you tie a string around your finger.
But maybe what I'm telling you to do is to tie the string around your finger. Or maybe I'm telling you to... No. It's a good metaphor. Which kind of zechira do we do where we tie a string not around our fingers, but tzitzit? Laman tizkiru vasitem otam. Instead of tying a string around your finger, you tie it around the corners of your beged. Right. In other words, maybe the zechira, the act, which is a kind of the pshat of zechira, is some kind of mental act that you hold an idea in your brain. But maybe it has to be externalized to a not a mental act, but to a ritual act. So we could tie a string around the corner of our beged, or we could
grab something.
No, we could say something. We could recite something. In other words, one of the ways Chazal had an idea, one of the ways of remembering something is by making a verbal declaration, right? And in fact, in Hebrew, the Shoresh Zachar, Zachor, Zayin Kaf Resh can mean to remember, or it can mean to
mind.
No, that's if it's a right. Hiskarta ta sefer ze lifnei daka. To mention. Right? In other words, that the word itself, I don't know what the first origin of Zachor Zayin Kaf Resh in that sense is. But Zachor means to make a verbal mentioning of something. Right? But the idea that memory is somehow connected with a verbal declaration. Right? So kara targum lo yatsa. Hey, no, I'm sorry. Kara al pe lo yatsa. Minalan omar rabba zechira zechira. K'tiv hocha v'hayomim ho'ela nizkarin. V'chtiv hatam. Where? Right, but what is this? What?
Zecher Amalek.
Zecher Amalek. K'tov zot zikaron b'sefer. By Amalek, how do you do Zechira? You haven't even look ahead. You didn't even look one word ahead, right? So, but in other words, but it's somehow connected to a written text. Zechirat Amalek, Tov Zot Zikaron, Basefer, Malahalan Basefer, Afkan Basefer. So just like by Amalek, to fulfill Zechira by Amalek, you need a written text, so too by Esther, by Megillah, you need a written text. Beseder, umi mai dahai zechira kriyahi. So who said that in order to fulfill the zechira, you need to read it? Maybe it's sufficient that there just be. Maybe it's sufficient that in that cabinet, behind that curtain, there's a scroll, and in the scroll, it's written. Remember Amalek. Maybe it's sufficient that it is there written in a text.
We don't read our tefillin.
We, in fact, do not read our tefillin. Right? Right, but... Yeah, but there, it doesn't say Zechira. In other words, by mezuzah, it's not to fulfill the purpose of Zechira, or even by tefillin.
No, but the concept of having something that's written down without a need to actually
So Dilma Iyun Ba'alma. Maybe it's enough to read it. It's who said that Zechirat Amalek, you have to have this reading? Who says that Megillah, for Zechira for Megillah, Hayamim Haylu Nizkarim, who says you have to read the thing? Maybe it's sufficient that it's a written text, and maybe it's enough to just read it to yourself, which is interesting because the Gemara is aware of the possibility of reading without recitation. Which, of course, is not the way... silent reading, which is, not, of course, not the way anybody read in the ancient world. Reading in the ancient world was a very noisy business. It's only in the medieval ages that people began to read, to sight read, to read silently. And when that happened, it was viewed with great suspicion. Do you know the history of this? This will interest you. Right? It was viewed with great suspicion to read without reciting. Right? Nobody knew what you were doing. Like you might be...
Kind of
Ilyin
Chana kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, kind of. But you might be up to no good. You might be up to something sinister. You might be up to something... if not witchcraft, then you might be up to some kind of undermining of the tradition. But the idea that reading meant reading aloud... You know, which, by the way, you go to yeshivas today, you can still see. In yeshivas, this is still the way it's done. Yeshivas are not libraries. And it's not just because people learn Bechavrusa, so there's a purpose in reading aloud. People sitting and learning on themselves, you know, read out loud, either softly or loudly. The other night there was a fellow here, one of our more right-wing brethren. And he was learning to himself before Maariv one night. He was learning to himself as loud as I'm speaking to you now. You know, somebody unfamiliar with our tradition would walk into the guy's out of his mind. Right. Who's he talking to? He's talking to himself. It's only in the modern era that talking to yourself is viewed with suspicion. But this was
not anymore. Not when you have a Bluetooth earpiece.
Yes, right.
When you start to get answers back in the afterwards.
Anyway, so Dilma Ian Baalma. So okay, Beseder. So it has to be written down in a text because of the Gzera Shava. Zechira, Zechira. But who said you have to read the text? You have to recite the text. Lo salkadatcha dichtiv zechor yechol belev. Keshu omer lo tishkach hare shichat halev amur. Hamani makayim zechor bapeh. The whole thing is a limud from a malik. By a malik it says zechor. Lo tishkach. This double process. To remember something, it might be enough, Taka, just to write it down. It's sufficient that there's a historical archive someplace. And in that historical archive, the records are there. And it could be years. You go to the library. It's not like this anymore. But it used to be, you go to the library, and you'd look to see, you know, they'd stamp in the book when the last time somebody took the book out. And you'd see, you were the first person in who knows how long. I remember in high school, there'd be like a card, you know, that they'd put in the sleeve, and you'd have to like sign out the book, you'd write your name, and you'd look to see. I remember I went to the same high school my father went to. And I remember there was some book that I took out that I guess was not so popular because on the same card, his name had been listed. He'd been in school quite a few years before me. Right?
The last one to take out the book.
It wasn't the last one.
We would go to them and we'd ask them for the papers.
Yeah, right. You could do that, right? So, but the idea that there's a historical archive, and it doesn't matter, you know, who the last person to visit this archive was, it's there. There's permanence to it. It's a kind of remote memory, a remote storage of memory. That's enough for Zachor. Al Tishkach, but for Al Tishkach, that's not sufficient. Al Tishkach requires a more active involvement. It's not enough that something's filed away in the archives. Or even in a Sefer Torah, which is not some kind of dusty archival document. Al Tishkach means you have to have a ritualized public reading. That's the din by a Malek, and because of the Gzeira Shava of a Malek to Esther, so Esther also, it has to be read from a text.
Let's say you have a place where there's no Sefer Torah. They read from the Chumash. Mm-hmm. Everybody goes
through. No, because there's a special din by there's a din by what it means. You have to, in other words, you have to read it from. In other words, once the Chazal get their hands on it, so the definition of Zachor Tishkach means a ritualized reading from. A mitzvah object, in this case defined either as a Sefer Torah or as a Megillat Esther.
Same with the Haftorah. I remember Rav Shoren's Zephanda Zohar used to say, if it's not read from a scroll, then they read that from a book, you're supposed to read it along with them. Because you
yeah, so,
be Yotze.
So,
but and it was from right. Megillat Esther.
That's a Chumrah. Which might become more popular, but it's not. But there are places that are makbid like that. Yeah. There are places nowadays. It used to be almost unheard of. Any place laning the haftorah from a klaf. In YU they did it. I mean, when I was a kid in YU, 25, 30 years ago. What? Today. Yeah, but back then, nobody. I mean, first of all, there was a budgetary concerns. Nowadays, it's more. What's his hat? Zvi Bernstein told me he just donated Yeshiyahu. He donated one of the Nevi'im to his son's yeshiva. Like, because, you know, he's in Avelis this year, so he wanted to do something, so he donated. He asked the yeshiva what they want. So I think he said a Yeshiyahu, right? Now, there's a certain Nevi'im that are more practical for Haftorahs. Yeshiyahu is probably the most. What's the second most? So and they leaned from the cloth. Like we leaned shirshirim from the cloth. many minyanim don't lean the other, besides Megillat Esther. Many places don't lean.
Except for Megillat Esther, there's no real chiyuv.
Except for Megillat Esther, there's no real chiyuv, but there's a hidur. It's preferable to lean from a cloth. And when you lean from a cloth, you say a bracha before Amikra Megillah and Shechianu. And it's becoming much more popular. Baruch Hashem, we live in a time where communities can afford all the Megillahs and all the
number of people who are able to read.
Able to read it,
yeah, yeah, presumably it affects the people. In YU, it used to have, in other words, just like they had a Balkore for, Chris Torah, the Balkore would often lane the Haftorah if the Maftir wasn't prepared. You can't take it for granted that everybody that gets maftir is prepared to lane from a cloth, meaning without the tamim, without the nikud. Nice. So the maftir would say the brachos, and the balkore would lane the megillah, and then he would say the after brachos. So this is a hidur, Rav Shurin Zichron LeBrachos Shita, that if you weren't laning from a cloth, everybody should lean to themselves. Is a chumrah, but it's does not seem to be the
makor for it. But I forget.
There is a makor for it, but it doesn't seem to be the. That's what we're machmir. If you're leaning from, if you're not leaning from a cloth, the haftorah should be read from a tanach shalem. This is not something people used to know about. There's a book called the Sefer Haftarot, which is just an anthology of, for each week, which is handy because the Gavoyim, don't have to look. It had the brachos.
You can do that from the
Right, from the back of the, in the Hertz Chumash, in the Chumashim, and in the Korain Chumashim, they have, that week's Haftarah there. But, certainly that's the way. But nowadays we're machmir at least to lane from a Tanakh Shalim. He lanes it maybe like he says it a little louder, but everybody lanes it to themselves with the ta'amim, without the ta'amim, whatever it is, because of this idea that if you're not laning from a cloth, the shlich tzibur can't be motziu. Okay. Or it's preferable to lean it to yourself than.
Now we get to learn all after.
Okay, so the Gemara goes on. Yep.
Could you arrange this as a demonstration of what you just said before?
Oh, yeah, see, here's. I think this is the guy I was talking about. Korat Targum lo Yotza. Heichi Dami. What does it mean to read it in Targum? Right? What would it mean to read the Megillah in Targum? You get up there and you say, in the days of Ahasuerus.
Asurith.
How do you say it in English? Ahasuerus, king, right, king over 127 countries, right, etc. So heichidami, so ilema dechtiva mikra v'kori lo targum. So no. So what is he holding in his hands? Obviously, the Balkor is holding a Megillah. We all know what a Megillah is. Megillah is written in Ivrit. So maybe he's getting up there and he's giving a
running translation.
A free translation.
So he's not saying the Hebrew, not like he said the Hebrew sentence in translation, just translation.
Right. Sahainu al peh. I don't understand. If he does that, he would be laning bal peh. What's the definition of laning bal peh?
Not reading
the words black on white in front of you. So if you get up there and say, in the days of Ahasuerus, in the days of Ahasuerus, Ahasuerus, who was the king from India until Ethiopia over
127
provinces, 7 and 20 and 100 provinces, right, etc. So what are you doing? You're reading Baal Peh. So it's redundant. The Mishnah already told you can't read Baal Peh. So if you're saying Kara Targum, It's the same as saying you're reading Baal Peh.
Yeah, but one's not in Hebrew, one's in Hebrew.
What?
Baal Peh that they were talking about was in Hebrew. This is not in Hebrew.
So, Kal v'chomer. The Gemara is motivated by the idea that the Mishnah doesn't need to say something unnecessary. So if I tell you you can't read it, you can't read it Baal Peh, what's the Havamina that you could read it in translation? You're even further unanchored from the source text.
Maybe doing them both. Reading the Hebrew and then doing a Targum.
Read it and then a Targum.
What if you're reading the Hebrew?
Like they used to do, like the Metargum, when the Hebrew is being read.
Yeah, but if they don't understand it, they have
an explanation.
But that obviously is not what the Gemara is assuming the Mishnah is talking about. Hainu alpeh lo tzricha dechtiva targum v'kore le targum. No. So it must be that you're talking about a Megillah. You get up there with a Megillah written in a foreign language, in Targum, in the Aramaic translation. The example I just gave is not a good example because I was giving an example in English. No, there is a Targum of the Megillah into Aramaic. So if you read a Megillah read in Aramaic from the official Targum, lo yotza. Aval korin oto.
You have to ask the question, is Targum has a different status than any other translation?
Well, in other words, I'm not sure that that's what the Targum might mean, just mean translated to any language, or it might be Targum with a capital T, meaning the
Aramaic Targum. Because it flows into the next section of Ashurit, because an Aramaic Targum would still be written in Ashurit. It wouldn't be written in Lozi.
You're assuming that the word Ashurit means Hebrew characters and not Hebrew language.
Yes.
Okay. A Valkorin oto lo zot balaz.
Why is that in lo zot balaz?
You can read it to a Frenchman in French. You can read it to a Russian in Russian. Vaha marta kara b'chol lashon lo yatsa. But wait a second. The Mishnah said if you read it in b'chol lashon, meaning any language other than Hebrew, you're not yotze. So why do I need to tell you, kor b'lo azot lalaz, you're not yotze? It's redundant. Rav Ushmuel de Omrei Trevayhu. Belaz Yivani. No. We're talking here not about any laz, French or Russian or Spanish or Portuguese, but about
Greek.
Now, why might I think Greek is different? So if you look backwards, you see the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Chet Amud Beis. Ein bein svarim letfilin imezuzot. There's no the Mishnah in the first parak has this long list of these ein beins. You see the first ein bein. The Mishnah had said the Mishnah had said on that Vav Amud Beis, Ein Bein Adar Rishon La Adar Sheni Ela Kriyat Megillah Matanot Lev Yonim. So, as a mnemonic device, once the Mishnah introduced this concept of Ein Bein, there's no difference. What does it mean to say Ein Bein X La Y?
The differences.
It's to highlight the nafkamina between two different things. So then the Mishnah, for the rest of the Perek, goes on this long laundry list of unrelated topics that fit into this construct of Ein Bein. There's no difference between Shabbat and Yom Tov, Ella, Ochel Nefesh Bilvad. Right? Ein Bein, well, you can look through them all. And none of these sugyas have anything to do with Megillah, even though they're all grouped here. Ein Bein Yom Tov LeShabbos, Ein Bein Shabbos LeYom HaKippurim. Ein bein zav haroeh shteriot l'roeh shalosh ela korban v'chulei. Ein bein nedarim l'nedavot. Ein bein hamoder hano mechavero l'moder mimenu ma'achal. Etc. etc. So here at the bottom of Chet Amud Beis, the Mishnah says ein bein svarim. Rashi says svarim Torah neviim uchtuvim, meaning ritual scrolls. Rituals, so not Svarim Harry Potter. Although some think it's Kisvei Kodesh. Right?
Well, there was a Harry Potter on
Broadway. Yeah, my son had it, I'll tell you. So Ein Bein, the Svarim that that are written, the Svarim we were just talking about, the scrolls, the Megillot, the Navi, etc. Ein Bein Svarim, the Tefillin Mezuzot, Ela Shasvarim Nichtavin B'chol Ashon. That you could write a Megillah in another language. But Tefillin and Mezuzot have to be written the way we have our Tefillin and Mezuzot. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Af besvarim lo hitiru shiichtavu ela yivanit. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel interprets the halacha to be that when we allow you to write Svarim in a foreign language, it was only in Yivanit, it was only in Greek that you were allowed. Now, obviously, he understood that there was such a thing as the Targum Onkelos. Right? There was such a thing as a translator. How could you translate it into... We're not talking about a translation. We're talking about
the actual sefer.
Actually writing a sefer. Well, again, let's hold off on that. Whether we're talking about a transliteration, where you write a word in a foreign language but represent it in the characters, the orthography of a different language, the word Moshe, M-O-S-H-E. M-O-S-H-E. What language is that? That's a Hebrew word transliterated into English characters. It's not translated. I mean, that's a different question. Can you translate proper names, proper nouns? The word, well, tefillin is a bad example because that doesn't appear in the Torah. But the word Torah, T-O-R-A-H. Right? It's not a translation. That's a Hebrew word that you're representing, that you're cutting and pasting and representing in English characters when you write out the Jews read from the Torah, T-O-R-A-H. That's called transliteration, representing a foreign word in the characters of a different language.
Could it be that they're saying that the reason why they have this difference is that because I can take the Chumash, I can write it in a different language, and I can just use it for the sake of studying the Chumash. I'm not using it to be yotze any of my obligations that I have when it comes to Kriyat Torah.
It's like the first Kaplan Chumash was written only in English.
Whereas in Tefillin and Mezuzot, the only reason why you're writing is Tefillin and Mezuzot is to be yotze the mitzvah.
Right, so obviously we're talking about, in other words, we're not talking about printing a printed Chumash. We're talking about writing a Torah scroll in Greek, presumably in...
There was no printing presses. If you were going to write a Torah scroll,
but they
learned from it...
That didn't mean that they wrote a Torah scroll, Kilchata. The Gemara lists all types of things that invalidate the writing of a Torah scroll. Inks that are no good, paper that's no good. If you write a Sefer Torah on paper, they had paper, they had not even papyrus, they had paper, right? It's not kosher for Kriyat HaTorah, but it's a book. I mean, they had an idea that there were Svarim with a capital Samach, and there were Svarim with a lowercase Samach, right? That there were texts that could be used for reading for other things, right? And it didn't have to be written, you know, with all the strictures of, you know, the sirtut, you know, scoring those lines. You know, like in the Sefer Torah, they always have those lines that are scored. That's a din. That's a halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. When you write the Sefer, that's not just for the convenience of the sofer that he makes the lines straight. That's a din in Hilchos Sefer Torah that you have to have the sirtut, those scored lines to keep everything straight and neat. And right? So you don't have to write it like that. You don't have to write it like that. So the Mishnah on Chet said what? The Mishnah on Chet said you can write Svarim in other languages, but Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel said only in Greek, only in Yivanit. So, Eilema dechtiva ashurit v'kari lo Yivanit hainu al peh. So, how could it be? I said, if it's written in ashurit, meaning if it's written in Hebrew, and you read it in Greek, that's the same as the previous case of reading it bal peh. Omer Rabbi Acha bar Elazar shektuva belaz Yivanit. No. It's written in Greek. You write a Megillah with all the dinim of the Megillah in Greek.
Is this in Greek, as in Greek, completely in Greek, or as in Greek, as in the Megillah transliterated into Greek?
Presumably transliterated into Hebrew letters.
And it's in Greek transliterated.
And that would be
in Ashurit. No, but it's Ashurit. It's Ashurit letters. It's Ashurit characters.
Why wouldn't it be just the opposite?
Everything else.
Greek characters.
Greek characters
representing
something like Hebrew, like
into Greek.
Like it was having the old Siddurim with the Kaddish transliterated in there.
Oh, I don't know. That's interesting.
In the case for Yiddish, Yiddish, it's like Hebrew.
I'm not sure why, but it does seem more likely. I'm not sure why that's.
No. I think it's written in Hebrew characters, transliterated into Greek.
But then that's not Ketuvah B'Ashurit.
It is Ketuvah B'Ashurit.
The font is Ashurit. Right.
The font is Ashurit.
I mean, if it's Ketuvah Ashurit, then it's not a situation where there's a problem. They said the problem was not Ketuvah B'Ashurit.
No, because if it was written Lo'azot L'Laz, as if it was the Hebrew words written in Greek characters, like the old Siddurim where it said in the back, Y-I-S-G-A, the Yisgadal, the Yisgadal, right? So then the reading would be in Hebrew.
Right.
Meaning the hearer doesn't, right here we're talking about somebody that's hearing it in a foreign language. They're hearing it in a foreign language, read from a Megillah,
Written in
Hebrew characters, which the Mishnah nicknames Ashurit, written in Hebrew characters, but the words themselves, the words that come out of the mouth, are Greek words.
So who is that? Who would
want that? Yeah, somebody who's a native Greek speaker.
But it's written in Hebrew letters.
So there's a Balkore who can handle it. The Balkore is always a more knowledgeable fellow, but the audience are people that need to hear it in translation. The audience of people that need to hear it in translation.
That would be like so, writing in Hebrew letters today.
In English.
Moses.
You know, it's like, because the person doesn't
what it's like is the way they wouldn't,
you need it.
English.
Yiddish is written in Hebrew letters, but they would write out in German words.
Right.
Or like the way Mr. Adapnim still insists on writing names. When people come on a
right, when you come, they want to write your name as it appears on your American birth certificate. Right. Go try telling them that your name is Benjamin.
Benjamin.
Right.
Go tell them that my name is Shlomo. They write Solomon.
Try Howard.
Solomon.
No, so that's different.
I know some people who have it that way, and I know some people who succeeded in arguing with them.
Yeah, so sometimes you can argue with them. But,
In English or Hebrew, they go, briefly, they go, Shlomo Yaakov. Look at my passport. No, Solomon. And that's how they wrote it on my passport.
You can tell you.
Then the Gemara, since the Gemara quoted something from Avachar Bar from Rav Acha. The Gemara quotes another teaching of Rav Acha, Omer Rabbi Elazar. And that's this pasuk. This is pasuk in Parshas Vayishlach. Vayatsev sham mizbeach v'yikra lo El Elohei Yisrael. So what does that pasuk mean? Yaakov Avinu sets up a mizbeach. Somebody translate that pasuk for me. Vayatsev sham mizbeach. He set up a mizbeach, an altar. What's the antecedent? Well, first of all, who's doing the Vayikra?
The same one who did the Vayatsev.
Well, that's a fair assumption, but it's not necessarily true.
Vayikralu el Psik el Yisrael. Hashem called to Yaakov. Which Hashem? The Hashem of Israel.
So you've already picked up on the problems of the Posuk. Who's doing the calling, and what's the antecedent of the word lo? There are a few possible subjects. Either it's the Mizbeach, or it's Yaakov, or it's Hashem. So Rav Acha bar Yaakov, this is a Gemara that appears in a few different places. It appears in Brachos, it appears in V'omer Rav Acha bar Elazar, Minayin Shekaru HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yaakov El. How do you know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu called Yaakov El? Now you see, I said the word the way it's written. I didn't say Kel. Because if it's referring to Yaakov, then, you know, like the word Elohim. Elohim could mean judges. Right? What? Or it could mean idols. Elohim Acherim. Or it could mean Elohim with a capital E, meaning God's holy name that I don't pronounce. But depending upon the context, you either can say the word, you can't say the word. Right? You know, like the blind date. I don't even need to say the punchline. Right? A guy goes out on a blind date. And, you know, he's very frum. He doesn't say Shem Hashem Lashov. So she says, what's your name? So he said, I don't like to say. Says, why? Because I don't like to say Shem Hashem. Well, his name is Kelly Kaku. What? She's Bat Kel and he's Kelly Kaku. Because he doesn't want to say Shem Hashem Lashov. So, but here, how do you know that Hashem calls Yaakov? What would it mean for Hashem to call Yaakov El? Havu Lashem Bnei Elim. What does it mean, Havu Lashem Bnei Elim? That the Bnei Elim should give Kavod Va'oz to God. What are the sons of God? What are you talking? Right? You were listening. You were watching the news yesterday. Yesterday was Easter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Day before. Right. No, so what does it mean? Ovel Hashem b'nei Elim. What does it mean that Hashem called Yaakov El?
That he was calling him a son.
No. What does it mean if Hashem calls Yaakov El?
Calls him powerful.
He calls him powerful, mighty. Right? To call somebody an El, it means they say his power. How do you know that Hashem called Yaakov mighty? Shnemar v'yikra lo. Hashem called him, Yaakov, El, Elokei Yisrael. De'i sal kedatcha lemizbeach kara le'Yaakov El. If you want to say like the pshat that you wanted to say a second ago, v'yatsev sham mizbeach, Yaakov set up a mizbeach, v'yikra, and he, Yaakov, called it the mizbeach, the obvious subject of the sentence, Elohei Yisrael. What does it mean to call, what would it mean to call a mizbeach El Elokei Yisrael? So if you want to say that he called v'yikra lo Yaakov, you would have to say v'yikra lo Yaakov miboyele. Ela v'yikra lo li Yaakov el. Rather say that the pasuk means that he, God, called to Yaakov el. Umi karu el Elohei Yisrael. And who called to him? Who called? Where's the subject? Where's the Where's the subject of the sentence? Now it turns Yaakov into the object of the sentence. Didn't you used to diagram sentences in elementary school? Mm. Right?
That was a while ago.
You still have a full head of hair. Can't have been that too long ago. Right? In other words, it turns Yaakov from the...
subject object.
Right. Does he now be the sentence? Who calls Yaakov El? Elokei. Yisrael calls to Yaakov El. Okay, it's just parenthetical. Meitve, against Rav and Shmuel. Rav and Shmuel said what?
That it was the Ketav, it was the Lazivani.
That this is only, when it says that you can read the Megillah in a foreign language, it's only talking about the Megillah in Yevanit. So Meitve, Kora Giptit, Ivrit. Elamit, Madit, Yivanit lo yatsa. So the Brisa lists a whole long list of languages that if you read it in those languages, you're not yotze.
Including Yivanit.
And Ivrit, as I mentioned before.
And Ivrit, but here Ivrit presumably means... Oktav Ivri. No, so maybe Ivrit here means, you see Rashi says, Lashon Ever HaNahar. And at some other... At some point, the mission... In other words, not ancient Hebrew. Rashi assumes that Ivrit is the nickname of some other. The fact that we call Lashon HaKodesh Ivrit today, what's the earliest reference to the language that the Bible's written in to being Ivrit?
Not in Tanakh.
It's certainly not in Tanakh. Is it even in the Mishnah? Right? So there's the fact that we today call this language of our people Ivrit, does not mean that that was always the what Ivrit referred to. So Rashi says Ivrit is not Lashon HaKodesh. Ivrit was some other Semitic language, right?
And we're talking about that it was written in Hebrew letters and it was pronounced in these languages, or we're talking about...
I don't know. It just says if you read it in these languages, you're not the Yotze. Presumably, what does it mean to read something in this language? It's written in this language and you read it in this language and it's written in the alphabet of that language. Presumably, that's the simplest way to understand it, but you know, we don't always have the simplest way to understand it. Ha lo damya el laha. No. Rav and Shmuel are not talking about that case. This Brisa that says you can't read this, you can't use this list of languages, including Yevanit. Obviously, Rav and Shmuel are not talking about that because Rav and Shmuel say you can read it in Yevanit. Giptit le Giptim, Ivrit le Ivrim, Elamit le Elamim, Yevanit le Yevanim, Yatsa. That you can read it in a foreign language. When can you read it in a foreign language? To people who understand that language. Ihochi Ravu Shmuel amay mukmelo lemitna balaz yivanit. So if that's the case, so what do they say that our Mishnah is talking about Greek? Say the Mishnah is talking about any language to a speaker of that language. Lok me becholaz ela matnitin kabraita v'chi itmar de Ravu Shmuel ba'alma itmar. But they say that Yevanit is different.
Yevanit is like Hebrew. Yevanit is like Lashon HaKodesh.
Say Lashon HaKodesh, so you don't get confused, right? That Yevanit is like Lashon HaKodesh. Even if you don't understand, you can be Yotzei like all of those Jews in that town you came from. I don't want to say which town because I'm about to go visit it soon. I don't want people to think I'm saying something bad about it. But not Muncie. So
that's like me, Muncie Laz.
Does Ahava mean anyone in Muncie listens to my recordings here? If you're listening to this and you're from Muncie, let us know, you win a prize. So Steve, if you're listening, let us know and you'll win two prizes. Or better yet, Steve, if you're not listening and you don't let us know that you were here, it's your turn to bring the bottle next week. So all those people, nobody understands a word that's being read. But they're all Yotzei the Megillah because it's in Lashon HaKodesh, because that's the language of the Megillah. Right? So maybe Yevanit is like that also. Um, Rav Shmuel d'amar chivayu laz yivani l'chol kasher. Ha'ketani yivanit liyivanim. In l'chulei alma lo. In who? But Rav and Shmuel d'amru kirashbag. But they say like Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, like the Mishnah daf chet. Titznan reshbag omer af svarim lo hitiru shichtavu ela yivanit. Right? V'leim halacha kirashbag. I omer halacha kirashbag. Hava amina hani mili shar svarim. So what do you need all this for? Why doesn't Rav Shmuel just say the halacha is like Rashbag, that Yivanit is exceptional? That you remember, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said you could write all the svarim in Yivanit, and if you could write the svarim in Yivanit, presumably you can be yotzei whatever you have to read from those svarim in Yivanit. Ah, but I might have thought that's true for everything else except for the Megillah. Why would the Megillah be an exception? Because we have a special limud with the Megillah, kichtavam kilshonam, emalo kemashmalon. I might have thought, if you had just said the halacha is generally like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that svarim can be written in Yivanit, Yivanit is an exception, I might have thought that the Megillat Esther is an exception to the exception. Why? Because Megillat Esther says, kichtavam vechilshonam, right, the way it's written is the way it should be done, and Yivani does not kamash malon. No, even for the Megillat Esther, the Greek would be good. So, do you go today to Athens and you want to read the Megillah in Yivanit? Can you do it? I mean, nobody would do it in no shul in America where they read the Megillah in English. I mean, did you ever hear of that? Even in a non-Orthodox synagogue. Did you ever hear such a thing? But maybe, but what about in Greece?
I know that I've heard in places like in Parshat Zohar, where before they get up and they read it, the rabbi gets up and explains what they're about to read.
That's always a good thing to do. It's always good for people to understand what's going on. But the question is, are they yotze without it?
What about so, the Ethiopians, their Torahs and Get?
Yeah.
I made it there.
So look at the Rambam in Hilchos Tefillin. Ein kotfin tefillin mezuzot ela bichtav ashurit. Vehetiru besvarim lechtov af beyivani bilvad, like the Mishnah. But says the Rambam, kvar nishka yivanit min haolam v'nishtabesh v'avad l'fichach en kotvin hayom shloshtan ela asherit. But the Yivanit that the Mishnah was talking about, the Yivanit that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel was talking about, was not the Yivanit that's spoken on the streets of Athens today. Right? It doesn't exist anymore. Nobody speaks that language. Maybe there's a professor somewhere, but nobody speaks that language. Nobody can understand that language. And therefore, this halacha of the exceptionalism of Yivanit went away with the disappearance of that language as a common language, even though there's always some professor that can speak it. Hagos Mamanios asks an interesting question, which will come. So wait, so you sent the email? So everybody has to respond what day we're meeting next week. But it's not going to be Tuesday.